Hey there, it's Tony here, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Today, we're talking surfing. Hey there, it's Tony here, and welcome to episode 118 of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Today, we're talking about the world of surfing, because there's some dumb stuff happening in that sport at the moment, so... But there's also some great stuff happening within that sport. They've got an Olympic spot that's opened up, I think, in 2020, which is going to be incredibly exciting for the sport, both from increased exposure to the market, to the sporting market in terms of participation and people just watching. It promises to be a really exciting time, but also... The championship season for 2018 is just about to kick off in just a couple of weeks down there at Snapper Rocks on the Gold Coast. Again, the World Surf League has a full 11 events calendar. And the season once again culminates in the Pipeline Masters in Hawaii in December. Now, there have been some memorable endings at Pipe. And often... The Pipe Masters is known as the decider for the world champ. It normally comes into, you go into the event, you've normally got two or three people still with a chance to win it, and the world champ is usually crowned at the Pipeline Masters. This year also sees the first ever competition to be held at Kelly Slater's Surf Ranch in California. Now, this is an artificial wave pool which Kelly has tweaked. And it looks amazing, I've got to admit. The waves look amazing. So, and once again, there's a lot to be excited about this. But I'm not quite sure whether the Surf Ranch Open will be the excitement that we're expecting, because when you're looking at top surfers surfing repetitively on a perfect wave, I'm not quite sure whether we're going to see... The depth, the strategy, the ocean element, the wave choice that we normally see when it comes to competitions and succeeding in competition. So I'd love to be proved wrong. I hope that the world's top surfers put on an absolutely amazing event. And it heralds the start of some new decisive manoeuvres, some new exciting stuff. But you know, at the moment, I'm tending to think it might be just a little bit boring, but very interested to see what happens. Now, depending on who you read or listen to, the World Surf League administration, either on a path or on a trajectory to take the sport to new levels, or that they're lurching from one disaster to the next. And, you know, I understand people's perceptions and politics, so I'm really not going to get into the differing views. But what I will share is something that I find quite disappointing. You know, the Hawaiian leg of the World Surf League Championship Tour is probably undercooked as it is, because really the only contest in Hawaii that fits the status of the championship tour is the Pipe Masters, which is the last event of the tour. So when you think about the fact that Hawaii is synonymous with surfing, and every year there's an annual pilgrimage from surfers all around the world to test themselves in the waves of like Sunset Beach, Haleiwa, and the Pipe. And to think that they only have the one championship contest is really quite absurd in my eyes. And the fact that the tour ends with the top Pipe Masters is, you know, that's awesome. To me, that's fitting of where Hawaii sits in the world of surfing. But this is where it gets really dumb. Now, the World Surf League, as is their right, they had a look at changing the format for 2019. And they wanted to kick off with the Pipe Masters. And kicking off the Pipe Masters, I think, with a contest that they were looking to hold in January. So instead of that Pipe Masters being the last event on the tour in December, they were looking at it to be the first event in the tour in January. So the season at the moment kicks off in March with the Quickie Pro down at Snapper Rocks and finishes with the Pipe Masters. So the World Surf League, as is their right, were looking at how best they could do it. how best that they could rejig the contest tour, the championship tour. Now, from what my understanding, what's ultimately happened, however, with that potential rejigging is that they've missed the deadline to get the permit from the relevant government authorities over there in Hawaii. And now the 2019 tour will go ahead without the iconic Pipe Masters. That's dumb. That's just dumb. And if it was seriously just the case that I'm hearing, that it was just a case that they were a day late getting in their application to run the event, that's just really dumb. So I hope that that can get worked out because, you know, the World Surf League deserves to have the Pipe Masters in their calendar events for 2019, and hopefully that there is a way that they can negotiate with those government agencies over there, because, you know, to be running a world tour without any event in Hawaii is, to me, is just dumb. Now, speaking of really dumb, a company that's, again, it's iconic in the surfing world and it seems to be almost coming to the end of its troubled history. It's Billabong. It's been reported that Billabong's only chance of survival is a takeover from the company, I think they're called Board Riders, that own Quiksilver as well as a host of other surfing brands and other brands. They've advised the market that if this is not allowed to happen, that they are in a position where they cannot carry on business as usual. Now, that's pretty damning words. Carry on business as usual. So the only potential way for the Billabong name to survive is in like a brand house, which is what ultimately will become out of, you know, the Board Riders setting. That they'll have a number of different brands. And, you know, when you look at the history of Billabong, it really does in many ways defy logic that a company that turns over almost $500 million in sales worldwide can't turn a profit and has just had this checkered history right throughout. You know, it was founded in 73 by an Aussie surf legend, Gordon Marchand, and they had massive growth during the 80s and 90s as the surfing culture took hold. They went on an acquisition spree in the 2000s where they've acquired brands like Custom, Tiger Lily, Element, Von Zipper, Palmer's, Kira Surf, Excel, just to name some of them, I guess, and probably name most of them. They opened retail world outlets worldwide, including Times Square and London. So they're very much in this growth stage, very much in the growth. And as we know, with growth, if it's not managed and if it's not disciplined, we tend to blow out our costs. Now, back in 2012, the first restructure was announced and 150 stores around the world were closed. And it started to partially sell some assets. So it sold some of the brand, partial sale of some of the brand names. Now, in 2013, they were almost signed a document for them to be bought by a private equity firm, and that was killed off because agreement wasn't able to be reached. Now, from late 2012 onwards, following the company's decline in the period since 2008, Billabong has pretty much been open on the market, right? So they've had a protracted bidding process. Now, they actually had a bit of a turnaround in the early, like from 2012 on, I guess, and they returned to profitability in 2014. But at the moment, once again, they come to the market here in 2018 and said, if this doesn't go ahead, this acquisition, we can't carry on business as usual. So from profitability in 2014, I think, and again in 2015, it seems once again that they're a lost cause. And to make matters worse, one of their former chief executive officers, Matt Perrin, was found guilty of fraud and forgery by a jury in the district court in Brisbane and was sentenced to jail in January 27. So it's a historical history that Billabong is certainly not proud of. Now, it remains to be seen whether Billabong are able to remain relevant in the surfing world. And in my eyes, it would be an absolute shame if that iconic brand would disappear. We've recently seen here in Australia another iconic brand, Mountain Designs, that just disappeared. They just went to them, they went to the media, they told them they were closing one in three stores, and now they've just closed everything. Did a rapid fire sale of their brand name and their intellectual property. And now Mountain Designs predominantly don't exist in a physical retail sense. Anyway, from what I can understand, they're clearing out the remnants of their stock online, but it would be a shame to see Billabong go the same way. So I hope, as I guess many do in the surfing world, that Billabong are able to remain relevant in the surfing world as we know it. And look, just on another shout out, you know, I just we did a show on the decline of Masters, and we did a show around the fact that Masters took the focus away from the Woolworths organisation, and it really affected Woolworths, because Woolworths the supermarket chain, because Coles took market share, Coles took growth, the Coles supermarkets really made some hay while the sun shone. But I just want to say well done to Brad Banducci and his team, because they've invigorated the Woolworths supermarket chain again, and they've really set themselves back onto a path of success. Now, this is great leadership. This isn't dumb leadership. This is great leadership, because Brad comes from a supermarket background, so he knows what the shops are all about. He comes from a retail background. They've chosen the right person at the right time to lead their business. They're outstripping the growth of both Coles, and they've really taken the fight back to Aldi, which is becoming more and more a strong competitor here in Australia. So there is a lot to say here about focusing on your core and playing to your strengths. And that's great leadership. That's better leadership. So well done to Brad and his team, and congratulations to Woolworths. It's good to see that iconic brand again flying high and delivering the results that we always knew were there, until they took that eye off the ball and had a dabble with the Masters brand. Hey, look, thanks for listening to the Dumb Leaders podcast. I hope that you've taken some great value out of it. Continue sharing your stories with us. Continue to share the podcast. Subscribe, like, share. We love adding value. We love sharing our opinions, and we love sharing your thoughts and your stories around dumb leadership, all in the hope that we can all become better leaders. We can learn from the mistakes we made, just like Brad and the team at Woolworths. They learned from the mistakes, they focused back in on their core, and they started playing to their strengths. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.